This is one of those things where priests, you've heard about bite your lip. Have you ever heard that, to bite your lip? I had a professor in Rome. He would do that. Like, you kind of put your tooth right here, like right like this, and the upper lip is over it so nobody can see that you're like this. But you really have to learn this as a priest, because you don't know if somebody's just testing you or they're making a joke. But if they're not, you don't want to destroy them. So, okay. Tell me how the Holy Spirit told you to eat donuts. Okay. Well, Father, I was going down the road, driving down the road, and I saw the donut shop. And I said, don't go there, don't go there. You gave up donuts for Lent. Don't go there, don't go to the donut shop. But then the happy thought came to me. If there's an open parking place before the donut shop, I should eat donuts. So the 12th time around the block, there was an open parking place. That's my example of overriding the Holy Spirit. When we're set on our will, the Holy Spirit made clear what we're supposed to do. We know when we're supposed to go help someone, when we're supposed to be listening to someone, when we're supposed to be present to them as if they're the only person who ever lived. We know that when somebody's hungry, we're supposed to feed them, or when they're a stranger, an immigrant, we're supposed to welcome them. Children even know this, right? I was giving a Lent mission down in Louisiana, way down deep, and I was giving the Mass during the holy season of Lent. You did it to me. And I said to the children, I said, okay, so if somebody's hungry and you have some food, what do? And they said, feed them. Good. And if somebody's thirsty and you have something to drink, what do? Give them something to drink. And I said, and so if you meet a stranger, what do? And they said, run. I said, oh, I got to think quick now. Okay. If there's a new kid in class that, is new to school and nobody knows them, what do? Oh, yes, greet them, become friends with them. Right, kids know. We know when the Holy Spirit is communicating to us. The challenge is that the Holy Spirit normally does it at times that we don't feel like doing what we're supposed to do. During the holy season of Lent, it's good. He's calling all of us to get up earlier. Don't hit the snooze button. Pray early in the morning. Make resolutions. I'll talk about all of that. He's talking about dying to ourselves and our self-love. He's talking about reaching out to other people. He's speaking all the time, but he speaks gently. But if you get overriding him, he'll leave you to yourself till you finally want to come back to him. Now, I'll tell you, being led by the Holy Spirit is difficult. Look at the Holy Spirit led Jesus right out to the desert 40 days and 40 nights. Right after the big glory, the Father says, this is my beloved Son. A moment of glory. Boom, out to the desert. The Holy Spirit led Jesus on the way of the cross to die on the cross. The Holy Spirit asks us to do some challenging things. That's why I find most people don't want to relate to the Holy Spirit, because he will ask you to do challenging things. But it's the greatest life in the world, being led by the Holy Spirit, learning to listen to him. You have to really develop that sensitivity and act on it once he prompts you. Do it right away without delay. My homeschool parents teach their children, right away without delay. That's a good way to live. E stands for essential. When you go to the desert, you find out what is essential, right? I was just in Phoenix last week giving a Lent mission. If you went out, like, let's say you were driving your car along the highway, the desert actually has a beauty to it. But let's say you got out of your car and you started wandering in the desert and you lost your way and you couldn't find your way back. Pretty soon, you're going to really realize what is essential. God is essential. Survival with God is essential. All the things that you thought were essential, not so essential anymore. When I pray during the holy season of Lent, I really picture myself in the desert. When I pray in the Psalms, I'm putting myself out there. But it's amazing how so many of the Psalms are praise and thanksgiving. Because I'm in a deeper relationship with God, God called me to the desert to speak to my heart, like in the book of Hosea, to speak about love. The essential, Pope Benedict, or Pope Emeritus Benedict now, he gave a retreat when he was Cardinal Ratzinger to the papal household with John Paul II as Pope. And he said, we need to set aside our preoccupations with so many things. How many things are we preoccupied with? Even when you come into prayer, you know, are you really focused on God? Is your heart going out to him? Or are you preoccupied with so many other things? Essential. What's essential? God is essential. And make that resolution. D stands for to depend on God. It goes with the essential. But depend on God. Don't depend on yourself. You know, the desert helps you learn to depend on God. Now, there's some other things in there, like the writing that I've given you. Dr. Meany, who just passed away this last year, he wasn't a Meany. He was a great guy. He was my philosophy professor. He added some other things like docility. For E, he put in Eucharist as well. But to listen, to know what's essential, and to depend on God, to be led by the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit does. If you listen to him, he'll teach you what's really essential, and he'll teach you to depend on God, and he will lead you on an amazing journey. It's all about love. St. Augustine says, to fall in love with God is the greatest of all romances. To seek God is the greatest of all adventures. And to find God is the greatest of all human achievements. And that's the truth. We're meant to be romantic, to be passionate. Jesus has his passion. Mary has her compassion. We'll get to that. What is the journey of Lent about? It's really about going from being dust and ashes on Ash Wednesday to being children of God at the Easter Vigil. All around the world, hundreds of thousands of people are going to become children of God, baptized at the Easter Vigil. What a journey. To recall our journey, we were created from dust and ashes, and we became children of God. And in 40 days, we go through a journey of learning how to be children of God, starting from dust and ashes. That takes a lot of schooling, right? Dust and ashes. To teach dust and ashes how to conduct themselves as children of God, that takes a lot of learning, right? But all the Lenten messages are actually pretty clear, right? Forgive 7 times 70. You know, it doesn't mean 490. It means infinitely, right? What you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto me. All the Lenten liturgy is so clear, right? Mercy. The Holy Father's Lent message is based on the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. I think you have it right there in the front there, his 2017 Lent message. The Holy Father always gives a Lent message every year. It's interesting that this year he actually wrote it on October 16th, 2016, which was still the year of mercy, and it was the Feast of St. Luke, which was the gospel we had during the year of mercy. And in the Gospel of St. Luke, you have so many parables about mercy, for example, the prodigal son. And the message of the Holy Father is basically this. It's entitled, "The Word is a Gift and Other People Are a Gift." But the message is broken into three parts. The first part is how the Word is a gift. The third part is how other people are a gift. But the second part is how sin blinds us. It goes with today's gospel. Sin blinds us. The rich man who passed up Lazarus was there. Lazarus, his name means God helps. That's what Lazarus means, God helps. The rich man, because of his riches, his self-reliance, became vain. He started wearing purple clothes and eating sumptuous food, thinking he's a king. And then he became proud. And he ignored Lazarus. It does not say that he did anything affirmatively offensive to Lazarus. It does not say that he kicked Lazarus. It does not say that he spit upon Lazarus. It does not say that he called the police on Lazarus. But it does say that even the dogs licked the sores of Lazarus. Dogs even had compassion on Lazarus. But the rich man, he ignored Lazarus, and where did he end up? In hell. While Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham. But if you read the parable carefully, what the Holy Father points out is that the rich man knew the word of God. But his riches and his vanity and his pride, which were those three temptations of Jesus going out to the desert, those three temptations Jesus overcame, riches, vanity, and pride, remember, turn the rock into bread, that could be riches. Vanity, jump off the temple and levitate, do something spectacular. Have all the kingdoms of the world, pride. The rich man fell into those temptations and he ended up in hell. The rich man knew the word of God, the Holy Father says, because he's calling out to Abraham, Father Abraham, you know, send some people to my five brothers and at least, you know, don't let them end up in this place. And what does Abraham say? They have the law, they have Moses, they have prophets. If they don't listen to them, they won't even listen to somebody who rises from the dead. And so the Holy Spirit will be working in all of our lives during this Lent to remove the blindness of sin. Whenever the Holy Father gives a Lent message, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired that message, and the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life. And so in a special way, with today's gospel about I was blind, but now I see, how Jesus is the light of the world, what's going to happen in all of our lives in a special way this week? God is going to reveal to us areas of blindness that are caused by sin. And we should rejoice when that's shown to us. It's hard. It's hard for me as a priest who has given his life to God, gone into very challenging circumstances all around the world, been blessed with many opportunities for purification, but the Lord is going to still show me areas that I'm blind this week, and I thank him for that, and I'm looking for it. And it might just come from one of you. One of you might say, you know, something that I know the Holy Spirit's saying to me, wow, I'm blind to that. Just like I was blind before my sister told me, women don't need you to solve their problems. Thank you for revealing that to me. The Lord is always at work. If it's an exciting life. Our life as Catholics isn't just about keeping the rules or just, you know, trying not to, just to, you know, to break as few rules as possible. When I work with young people, I talk about the rules. And I say, for example, playing basketball. I go, we have rules to play basketball. I mean, you know, they enable us to play in a way where we can have fun. Because if somebody's going to, like, instead of dribble the basketball, they carry the basketball like a football and they start to elbow people and all those kind of things, it's no fun to play basketball when they're playing football. But no one has ever said to me at the end of a basketball game, Father, that was a great game you played. You kept all the rules. But I need the rules to play the game. I need the rules to live my life as a Catholic. The rules are a gift, but I need to know the heart of the rules. That's what Jesus reveals. If you listen to Bishop Barron, you know, he had the word on fire talking about the heart of the gospel, the heart of the word. There's a great series on St. Matthew's gospel, and it's the heart of fire, you know, the heart of the word, the heart of the gospel. We have to get to that. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And so it's a wonderful life to be formed into Jesus' life. And you receive all these different gifts. Tomorrow, when I go into prayer, first I'm going to show you what's happened so far during the holy season of Lent. And I can tell you what's happened in your life because I know what the Sunday Gospels are. One of the first things I do before every holy season of Lent is I chart out the Sunday Gospels so I see the compass points. I see the direction where the Holy Spirit's going to take me. And I see where he's going to be forming me. This week, he's going to be forming me in removing blindness. But that's all to get to next week, which is Lazarus raised from the dead, so I can come to get ready for a new life in the resurrection by listening to the Holy Spirit. I receive the living water. I learn to walk by faith, and I see in a different way. I see that the cross is a gift. I see even temptations are a gift because I overcome the temptations. And Padre Pio teaches, just like many of the saints, it's what you do with the temptation that's important. Many temptations, they're neutral in and of themselves. Let me say, emotions are neutral in and of themselves. You'll feel them, but it's what you do with them. If you overcome them, you grow in virtue. Growing in the spiritual life is not about never having a temptation. Jesus was tempted. Mary was tempted. But it's about overcoming the temptation and you grow in virtue. How do you grow in patience? You all know how you grow in patience, right? If you ask the Lord right now, Lord, I want to grow in patience, what is he going to do? You're going to be behind every slow driver on the road for the next week. You're going to be 20th in line at every grocery store. They're going to have just one cashier. Your boss, all of a sudden, is going to have a certain conversation with you that's going to hit spots where you're going to be like, oh. Even your priest is going to talk too long during a conference. But that's the way you grow in virtue. It's a workout, a spiritual workout. St. Ignatius talks about spiritual exercises. We must exercise, right? Too many Catholics have their faith at the second grade level. I love second graders. We need to become as children, but we need to be childlike, not childish. We need to grow in our faith. And most people haven't developed their faith past an eighth grade level. That's why we're here, to try to show you the deeper meaning of the holy season of Lent. So I've given you many insights into the holy season of Lent. I really hope that you already knew everything. I really hope that I don't say anything that's new. I hope I'm only reawakening what you already know so you make that commitment to live it, because it's a gift. And really all I've talked about tonight is so many gifts that God gives us. The holy season of Lent is a gift. It's not to just get through the 40 days, as I said, and say, it's Lent every day. Oh, well, at least it's the fourth Sunday, 3 more weeks till ice cream. Oh, it's Lent. Please. It's the holy season of Lent. What a great, you know, what a great retreat. What a great time to grow in union with Christ, to receive the gifts that God gives us, and to really learn about prayer, fasting, almsgiving is my hope. But I will be going again, as I said, into family, into marriage and family, giving a lot of teachings from St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta that makes the gospel pretty living if we just do some simple things that God asks of us. Pope Francis says that families will be transformed if they learn 3 simple phrases. And we all know them. So this is an example of this retreat I'm giving. I'm saying things that we all learned from our mother. These 3 simple phrases Pope Francis learned from his mother, I'm sure. Every mother teaches their family this. What are the 3 phrases? Please or may I? Second, thank you. And third,